So good morning. Welcome back to Creative Disturbance in Virtual Africa. My name is Yvan Tina. I'm today with Al Banda in Cameroon. Good morning, Al Banda.
Good morning, Ivan. Thanks for having me on.
Can you please introduce yourself? That's how we do in Creative
Right.
Disturbance.
My name is Al Banda. I am a Cameroonian. I am a startup consultant by profession. I was born in Cameroon, but I moved to the United States when I was still a baby. I lived there for about 6 years, and I moved to the Netherlands, where I lived for another 8 years. And I returned to Cameroon almost 17 years ago, and that tells you how old I am.
Thank you very much. That's quite exciting for me because I'm from Cameroon too, and I was born in Cameroon, but I'm like you. I grew up between Europe and the US. But I'm very pleased to be with you today, and thanks to Ira Greenberg who put us in touch together. So you are trying to develop processing language in Cameroon, you have been taught. So can you please explain us what is your background and how did you come to learn coding and processing?
No, of course. And that 4 years ago, I started out managing in one of Africa's leading innovation hubs. It's called Active Spaces. It's a place where we were supporting technology entrepreneurs, and we were basically advocating and evangelizing on the benefits of technology, especially for Africa. And during this time, we conducted a workshop with a fellow who visited from America. His name is Richard Anderson. He came to us from Maryland, and he helped us conduct a workshop on Scratch, which is the visual programming language developed by MIT, which kind of introduced youngsters to programming concept. And this was I was also introduced to Scratch this time because of the workshop and the interest that the students had in it. We eventually decided that we were going to host a weekly Scratch club at Active Spaces. And we did this because, Active Spaces was a space for entrepreneurs, but at the time, we also wanted to think about the next generation of technology entrepreneurs. So we decided that every Saturday at the hub, we would, allow these students to come in and use the equipment, and practice, play around with the Scratch, and get their minds into computational programming and logical thinking. So this is the background that I came from. And it's interesting that you say, how did I learn programming? Because actually I didn't. I wasn't a programmer. Like I said, I'm a startup consultant by profession. And it was kind of December 2014, January 2015 that I actually, got into the computer and started programming, and I started doing this with processing.
Interesting. But you were telling me during our first talk that you are currently reading our books called Processing, Creative Coding, and Computational Art.
That's right. That's right.
Is it a
I've seen,
good
I've, I've
introduction to that?
I beg your pardon?
I'm saying, excuse me, is it a good introduction to processing, and would you recommend it to non wait,
Non-programmers.
non-programmers like me?
No, yeah, so Ira Greenberg's book, Creative Coding, it is definitely a very good book to introduce you to processing. I mean, it introduced me to processing, and actually what was interesting is that I spent about 2 days just on the book. I read it from cover to cover, and I mean, although I didn't grasp all the concepts, but within about 3 days of reading the book and practicing, I was able to, already create some kind of visual art with the language. And this was especially interesting to me because I realized that for a long time, because of my background as a law student, I hadn't thought that programming was a thing for me. But processing and of course the book just made it really easy for me to understand that, it's actually not so different from law, in a sense that law is a logical discipline, and programming is a logical discipline. It's all about just learning the language and applying the rules. And this is a reason why I want to make processing a an integral part of this this social space that I'm developing, because I think it's such an easy thing to pick up, and people can see the potential for programming and creative coding through processing.
So thanks again to Ira Greenberg, and we recommend it to any Cameroonian student or African
Most
student.
Most definitely.
Yeah. So you also have an experience as a community manager in a social or scratch club in Cameroon called Active Space. What have you been doing there, and how did you get in touch with those people?
No, like I said, actually, it just so happened that we had Richard Anderson was visiting Cameroon. He's married to a Cameroonian,
mm-hmm.
and so he was visiting, and he came across us, and he thought, well, you know, while I'm here, I can, you know, he's doing scratch education in Maryland. He just said, you know, while I'm here,
okay.
I can
who is this person? Because I'm not familiar with.
This is Richard Anderson. He's a teacher in Maryland. I forget the name of the school exactly, but he's a teacher out of Maryland. And he was on it was actually a vacation with his family in Cameroon.
Okay.
And he came across us and just said, you know, why not do a workshop and introduce scratch to Cameroon? And this is how we came in touch with the language.
Okay.
And basically, we just let the kids. We actually started out. It was interesting again because I'm very interested in interdisciplinary learning. Mm-hmm. And we started out that workshop not with scratch, but we started with the Sudoku. You know the game. Sudoku.
Yeah, the Sudoku game.
Exactly. We started out the workshop with Sudoku, and you know, Richard was just saying, well, you know, this is it. This is programming. This is logical thinking. You know, either it makes sense or it doesn't. You know, there's no two ways about it. And then we got into Scratch, and today
you're developing your own social club.
Right. The reason for that is because after my time at Active Spaces, you know, it was a technology hub. It was supporting technology entrepreneurs, but I wanted to get into several different things. I specifically had a passion for interdisciplinary learning. I had a passion for art, you know, and I had an idea of setting up a space where we could promote logical thinking, art, and technology. And I just felt that it would be a place where we'd see lots of interesting creations and innovations come out. And so, you know, this is what I set out to do. It's kind of an interesting story because I've always been interested in chess my whole life. I've been a slightly avid chess player.
Yeah.
And I've also, during my time growing up in the Netherlands, I was surrounded by Mondrian's art, you know. And
mm-hmm.
so I was also really interested in abstract art and cubism. And then, of course, I've been very interested in technology. And you know, somewhere along the line, these three disciplines, you know, they just came together. And I thought, you know, if I can promote a space, if I can develop a curriculum where, you know, logical thinking, art and technology are part of this, you know, we're trying to find intersections.
Wait.
Be, you know?
Okay, no, that's very interesting, but you're going very fast because earlier in the discussion you were talking about this temporal dimension of chess, which is very interesting to you, and how chess is an externalization of memory in a way, how it records individual patterns and influence the decision-making process. Can you come back again to how, to your interest in chess and how you integrate it in your own processing activity?
No, of course, for sure. So chess, the reason I've always been fascinated with chess is because, you know, through the game, you're able to see, you know, the game is all about decision making, you know, and either you're making the right decision or you're making the wrong decision.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at various points of the game, you know, a player is put under intense pressure. He's put under a threat. You know, there's a lot of fear simulation within the game, you know, and some players, they're able to find the mental presence of mind to, you know, find the right path, make the right decision, you
mm-hmm.
know, and go on to be victorious. And this aspect of the game has always interested me. But also equally interesting is the fact that, you know, a chess game, it's all based on logic and there is absolutely no luck to it. You know, either you do the right thing or you do the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
And also as a game, even though the game, you know, has been played for centuries because of algebraic notation, which is
mm-hmm.
the way that a chess game is recorded. We can actually go back in time, you know, and witness those games that were played, you know, centuries and centuries ago. We can still see the thought pattern of the particular master in question, of the particular player in question. We can see the obstacle.
You can reenact a past game.
Exactly, you can reenact the past game. For example, today, algebraic notation, it exists in a file format called PGN, which is a portable game notation.
Yeah.
And you put that into most computer programs, you can actually see the game played as it was played, you know, centuries ago.
Okay.
You know, you can see the actual threat, the actual challenge that the chess player was faced with, and you can see, you know, how he overcame that.
Okay.
So somehow along the way, while I was studying processing, this discipline of chess, you know, and processing programming, it clicked in my mind, and there was just a fusion where I thought, you know, why not take logical thinking patterns and display that as abstract art?
Mm-hmm.
And what was interesting in the process for me is that I realized that I'm not actually doing anything here. I'm not doing anything at all. Although after what I code into the processing environment.
Mm-hmm.
There is an abstract piece of art that's developed, but I'm not the person who developed it. You know, this is the thought pattern of chess players from centuries ago. You know, I didn't do anything. I simply kind of had a conversation with the computer, and I said, you know, you should look at how this chess player played this game. And while you're looking at how this chess player played this game, you should look at what, you know, cubism was. You know, you should take those two concepts, and you can see how you can mix that. And I tell the computer program that, and I sit back. And the computer program does all the rest, you know, and there's a piece of art created. So it's kind of, in a sense, you know, I feel like I'm collaborating with the person who's dead, or at least who's absolutely not next to me, you know, and I'm just collaborating. I'm just a voice. I'm just saying, hey, you guys should see what you can do together. And I sit back and I watch it happen. And that's kind of why it's so interesting for me.
I wanted to address that question of aesthetics and art in your own work. So how do you integrate your own culture as a Cameroonian, your background as someone from the diaspora who has been living in America and Europe and today in Africa, and how do you mix it or remix it with your interest in programming and making art?
Right, you know, I guess a part of the reason that I've been influenced to always think about connecting things is because I've grown up as a third culture kid,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I've always had to, you know, I was in America, but I wasn't American, and I was in Europe, but I wasn't European,
yeah.
You know, and even coming back to Africa, I was at home, but then I'd grown up differently from everyone at home, so I'm always trying to find a connection and, you know, connect things, and this is. You know, this part of the culture is what you'll see. You'll see in my artistic practice, because it's usually abstract, and it's usually just it's a mingle of this and that. It's taking this discipline and that discipline and connecting them. As far as digital programming and African culture go into my artistic practice, again, a few things I've done with some of my processing sketches is. Just to try and take patterns that I see, you know, in everyday life here, patterns that I see on the fabrics, traditional fabrics of the clothes that we wear here,
mm-hmm.
you know, just the general, just the general, the feeling, you know, you walk through my village, for example, it's a very dusty place. I try and represent this dust. These are the images that I incorporate. What's also interesting is the fact that you see programming, it's picking up in Africa very much, but of course it's picking up a lot later than it's picked up in other places. And I myself, you know, I just started practicing programming a few months ago. And again, this goes back to what I was saying earlier, is that what we have to do is, you know, we have to try and merge this knowledge with knowledge from our past and knowledge from people who've done this in the past. And, you know, although programming is new, you know, we've had chess players who've been playing chess way back then. And I can study a chess player's thought patterns.
Yeah.
I can apply this to my programming practice, you know, and I can develop something. I can develop something, an original creation. And again, like I'm saying, since it's new and since my skill level is low, what I'm forced to do is to find people find people or find thought patterns or find different artistic concepts that I can kind of bring into what I'm trying to create, that this influences me in my creative process.
And your local environment has an influence on your own practice.
Yeah, you know, as a matter of fact, one of the reasons I'm very interested in promoting and developing this hub and developing this program is because digital art is definitely a thing that is not developed at all in my local community. It's virtually non-existent. And yeah. And looking around me, looking at the visual artists that are around me, mm-hmm. there are several of them. You know, there are several painters and sculptors. And I like them, you know, these are the true artists and not myself.
Yeah.
I like them to kind of come together and see how they can, you know, merge different concepts, merge what their practice with technology
mm-hmm.
and see the new things that they can create, you know.
Yeah.
And this is what I love to see. And this is the reason why, you know, I'm taking this path.
They Thank will. You very much. And I hope to continue this conversation with you and with your community in Buea, in Cameroon. Thank you very much for
most definitely, Ivan. Really, really, thank you. Thank you for having me on the podcast, and I enjoyed the conversation to be able to share what I'm doing, to learn more about what you're doing.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you too.